This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you ready? It's one of our house rules, but it's applicable over and over and over and over and over again. So that's why I repeat it. In fact, some of you have actually reached out to me on social already, either to agree with me or to dispute the house rule. And that's your prerogative. It's okay. You ready? No game ever comes down to one moment, one snap, one call, one missed call, one flag, one play. Nope, it doesn't work out that way. That's why they play 60 minutes of football. That's why they get out there and they go through a full four quarters. And honestly, given how the Vikings had left points on the field already in that second half, settling for field goals when they should have been scoring touchdowns, I don't think we should assume the Vikings were going to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion in the final minute and 46 seconds. That being said, an egregious missed call. It was absolutely a missed call. And as one listener reached out to me and said, it's not why we... He identified himself as a Viking. It's not why we lost the game, but it did rob us of a chance to potentially tie the game. He said win, but obviously they were trailing by eight, so they would have needed not just the touchdown, but the two-point conversion. I think it's less than likely. Again, they had multiple opportunities in the second half to either get into the end zone, to take the lead back in this game, and were not able to do it. Settling for field goals in the second half instead of touchdowns. Well, that's a tough thing to do on the road, on a short work week, against a quarterback who's not only a Super Bowl winner, but also just got his top two wide receivers on the field with him again. You see how prolific Matthew Stafford can be with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. What a difference a Kupp and a Puka make. Sounds like some kind of a baking recipe. So yes, we'll talk about the missed face mask. Actually, if you look at the perspective of the referee whose job it would have been, should have been, to make this call, he was blocked. If you look from directly behind him, there's some video. Now, I'm not excusing it at all. I'm just saying that the referee actually was blocked from view. When you're looking at it from his perspective, another Ram comes flying in between him and Sam Darnold and Byron Young at the exact moment when he should have been seeing the face mask. Now, there are other officials on the field, and there is another man, in this case, an ump, who should have been able to see it, but he says he was blocked as well. It happens. Again, I hate that this is how we end a game because it gets people all incensed and let's pile on the officials and they suck and all that jazz. This is not why the Vikings lost. It's not even remotely why the Vikings lost. This is a good game. It was a really good game, and I hate that it was marred by a missed call at the end. But the Vikings had more than enough opportunity, ample opportunity, to be able to score a touchdown in the second half. Didn't do it. And with a minute and 46 seconds to go, are you really going to assume the Vikings were going to drive the length of the field, score a touchdown, and get the two-point conversion? Ask yourself if that seems reasonable. Now, there's always a chance, and they should have had that chance. I'll give you that. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. I do love it when people get so incensed by this house rule. And then also on our Facebook page, at some point in the very near future, we will have your After Hours Game of the Week poll. This has already set us up in a good spot for week number eight. Set the bar pretty high for week number eight. These two teams looked like they were in rhythm right out of the gate. We had four touchdowns in the first half. It was tied at 14 And then the Rams able to take advantage, again, of having much greater balance to their offense. I think that was evident. They were evenly distributing running versus passing plays. And also, when you've got guys who are A, comfortable with your quarterback, B, are accustomed to not just running their routes, but getting out quickly. Both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp have explosiveness at the line of scrimmage. It allows your quarterback to get rid of the football a lot more quickly. Minnesota did not sack Matthew Stafford. We saw him duck under, spin and duck under a couple of charging defenders on his touchdown toss to Cooper Kupp in the back of the end zone. Was really cool. What a moment for the old man Stafford. Ripe old age of 36. I mean, he looks good. But yeah, it always looks better when you've got worthy and dependable targets to throw to. So they really provided a boost and some energy to the offense. A combined 12 catches, the touchdown to Cooper, and well over 150 yards receiving between the two of them. So this was a big deal. It takes a lot of pressure off your defense, which of course is going through a transition in the wake of losing Aaron Donald. Some younger guys, and it also helps out your run game. Kyren Williams, he's great. Over 100 yards from the line of scrimmage, and also had a receiving touchdown. So that's our first game of week number 8. What? I can't believe it. The really cool reaction to our interview with Ron Rivera. Love, love, love it. Thank you so much. It made me really happy that you enjoyed the conversation and that a lot of you got excited as he did about some of the different ways that he's used his spare time. He's got more spare time, not the golf, but what he's doing to watch football and understand football and process football a different way, and how excited he got about talking football. Yeah, I love that you all were excited about it too. Really cool feedback. And if you missed it, well, it's on both our Twix and our Facebook page. There's also a clip in which he answers the question directly, does he want to coach again in the NFL? And so if you missed the clip, it's in a little bite-sized chunk. Chomp, chomp, chunk, chunk. So that's also online at A-Law Radio. So that got a ton of reaction. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I was fired up to share it. And he was not only open about some of the tough experiences he's gone through, most recently getting fired by the Commanders, but also open about what he wants in the future if the opportunity would come along. It's not exactly what you think. So thank you for checking out that conversation with Riverboat Ron, who was doing the play-by-play. Well, he wasn't doing the play-by-play. He was part of the play-by-play team for Westwood One, along with Ryan Radke. So it was fun to hear him after we just had him on the show. However, with my apologies to Ron Rivera, there were far more, and I mean exponentially more, responses to a different post I put up on social. Actually, I think I just put it up on Twix and then my Facebook page. It was a special day in our family. I'm going to let you go and check that out. Here, I'll reshare it again. Yeah, it was kind of fun to see all your responses. So thank you for that. Thank you for caring about my family, and not just about me, but about my family as well. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Love to talk to you about what's to come in week number 8. Plus, we're on the cusp of the World Series, the Fall Classic, if you will. And with World Series Media Day, which is now a thing, with World Series Media Day, a lot of the Dodgers were talking about the impact of Fernando Valenzuela. And they will wear a patch during the World Series and all of next year to honor and commemorate his life, his legacy, the very large shadow that he casts on the Dodgers organization. And so that was neat. But to hear them talk about Fernando, some of their personal stories and what he's meant to them over the years was really special. Bittersweet, of course, because it happened just a couple days ago. There's a mural up at Dodger Stadium as well. I'm sure that will be highlighted once the World Series begins on Friday evening. So we have a lot to talk about, including the debut of Klay Thompson with the Dallas Mavericks. No, it's so weird. I'm going to need a minute to get used to not just seeing him in a Mavericks uniform, but seeing him in the same backcourt as Kyrie Irving. That is also very odd. And considering that we've already got a Luka Doncic who's feeding Klay Thompson and then smiling because he knows the shots are going in, Luka looks really happy. I'm wondering if all of a sudden there's going to be some drama. You know how Kyrie is. You know, there's the possibility. Klay's really drama-free, though, for the most part. I think he was pretty miserable last year, and the guys in Golden State just want him to be happy now, so I hope they are happy for him. But he's not really a drama guy. In fact, he doesn't really talk much. And so I'm hoping that they find a steady rhythm. Obviously, it's a very long season. There are plenty of shots to go around. But it was weird. It definitely was weird to see him in a uniform that's not the Golden State Warriors on national TV, out there with his headband, knocking down threes in his signature style. Just, yeah, I'm still adjusting.
Doncic left off of Lively, keeps the dribble at the left elbow. Back out, Klay puts it on the floor for a 10 a.m. three. You cannot give him 15 feet of space. That's embarrassing.
15, he had 20. He had time to dribble, take a breath, have a cup of coffee.
19 for Klay Thompson in his Mavericks debut, and the Mavericks matched their biggest lead at 97-83 in the midst of a 10-3 run.
6 for 10 from beyond the arc. Yeah, super cool for Klay Thompson. I'm happy for him. I just don't really know how to handle it yet. Don't really know how to process it yet. But he's really happy. And the smile on his face, that was evident throughout the game.
Well, the feelings were a lot of nerves, anxiousness. But after a few minutes and you see one go through, you feel great. And great debut. It's only one game in October, but it feels good just to get the first one out the way. And setting a record is always a great feeling and something I'll never take for granted.
22 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals for Klay Thompson. 28 for Luka, and the Mavericks manhandle the San Antonio Spurs, but kind of fun to see a post-Olympics Victor Wembanyama, who is still growing into his NBA body. It's a long, lanky, lean body. I dare say we'll look back on his rookie year and his second year with the Spurs and think, wow, he really filled out. Remember, he's a teenager when he started. So, and he's been playing international ball going back to when he was really little. Well, he was never really little, if you know what I mean. It's like a giraffe being little. They're born 6 feet. But he had 17 points and 9 rebounds to go along with a block shot. This team, the Spurs, was the youngest in the NBA last year. And so they're growing up together. Of course, we know about Greg Popovich and his coaching staff. But the Mavericks, they're the defending Western Conference champions. So in essence, they're where every other team in the West wants to be. And now they add a Klay Thompson. I don't know if I can root for a team with Kyrie Irving on it. I'll just be honest. He's not one of my favorites. Be like rooting for a team with James Harden on it. But I do like Klay. And one of these days, producer Pete, you're going to find it. You're going to stumble on Klay Thompson calling this one of the best sports shows in America.
Well, you said you had it in your email.
I do, but it's also in the folder. I know it is. I can't imagine anyone would sabotage and try to steal it and AI it. So it sounds like he's talking about a different show and not our show. Nope. I believe it's in there somewhere. We just have to doctor it now because he said it as a Golden State Warrior. He is a 4-time champion. That part we can leave. The four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. That part is okay. All right, coming up, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, with a triumphant return to the field for the Los Angeles Rams. And boy, does their offense look a whole lot different when Matthew Stafford can throw to his top two targets. Excited to preview week 8 with you and look ahead to the World Series. By the way, I didn't say it yet. Happy almost Friday. Like I said, big day in our house, big day in our family. And so you can go and see my post on Twix at A-Law Radio if you want to check it out. I think it might be on our show Twix as well. Good to have you with us. 4 hours from the weekend, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First and goal for the Minnesota Vikings from the 5-yard line. Scoreless first possession of the game. Jones the tailback. Addison in motion to the right. Jefferson to the left. Darnold back to pass on first and goal. Looks right. Swings to the left. Josh Oliver wide open. Down! The Minnesota Vikings have come to Los Angeles and streaked down the field on their first possession to take a 6-0 lead.
Third and goal from the 5. Play clock reads 3. Now it reads 1. Stafford beats the clock. Top of his drop. Throws middle. Caught! Caught by Kyren Williams! Sound the siren for Kyren! It's an opening drive touchdown! For the first time this season, L.A. puts it in the paint in the first quarter.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
On both the Vikings and Rams radio networks, Paul Allen and J.B. Long, it was a back and forth first half. In fact, for a minute there, it looked like we might end up with a bit of a shootout between these Vikings and Rams to kick off week number 8 in the NFL. Before halftime, we had another touchdown pass from Sam Darnold, this one to Trent Sherfield, and then Matthew Stafford. This moment was impressive for an elder statesman at quarterback.
Kyren's still the back. He's offset right. To that side, a trips bunch, including Nacua and Kupp. Here comes Kupp in motion to balance it out 2-by-2. Stafford has a snap. Four-man rush. Pressure in his face. Goes out the left side. Ducks the rush. Flips to the end zone. Caught! Caught! Cooper Kupp from Matthew Stafford! A primetime edition of 9 and Dime! Oh, the ever-elusive Matthew Stafford ducking the rush of the Vikings and finding his favorite targets. Welcome back, Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, L.A.
Obviously, it's been frustrating the last few years just going through stuff that's kind of outside your control. And unfortunately, I've had a lot of practice at this, which is just frustrating. But, man, it's so good being back out here playing this game again. And I just love these guys. Coming into work each day has been a joy, even in these times where I'm not feeling like I'm able to contribute like I was able to a little bit today. But man, it feels so good to be able to come back out here, do what you love, be with these guys.
Cooper Kupp, 5 catches, 51 yards, a touchdown, and that moment was sweet for Matthew Stafford. And his receiver had to continue to work to get open in the back of the end zone, even as Matt is spinning away from one defender, ducking under another hard-charging defender, and then firing off balance into the back of the end zone where Kupp was waiting. So, yeah, it was a pretty sweet, sweet sequence, but a sweet moment for the old dude. We know old dudes rock in sports because they don't take anything for granted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So tied at 14 at the half. And in the second half, it was really a tale of two offenses. The one had a couple of extended possessions, would move the ball, even got into the red zone, but was unable to come away with touchdowns. The other taking advantage of every opportunity in the red zone.
Kupp is the number 2 to the right of Stafford in a trip set out to the wide side of the field. The number 3 receiver, Tyler Johnson, goes in motion. Stafford lobs the ball down the right sideline, looking to the end zone. It is caught! DeMarcus Robinson! Impossible! With a flag down, a contested catch for 6, and it gives the Rams the first lead of Thursday Night Football. 25 yards.
Pass interference.
Through P.I.
Defense, number one. That penalty is declined. Result of the play, touchdown.
20-17, Matthew Stafford puts the Rams on the high side with a hat trick. His third touchdown toss tonight, equaling his season total from the first six games combined. One back, one tight end, Colby Parkinson on the field. Rams set up 2x2. Kupp and Nacua split out left for Stafford, play clock at 7. An adjustment at the line, he's back in position, ready for a shotgun snap with 3. Here it is. Vikings bring 3. Stafford well protected. He drills one right side end zone. Caught! DeMarcus Robinson with his second of the half. He flings it into the stands. And John Matthew Stafford has 4 tonight. The Rams extend their lead to 27-20 with the try pending. Matthew can't miss.
It was amazing having Puka and Cooper back. They take a lot of top off the coverage and get a lot of defenders guarding them, so I get a lot of one-on-one, so it was amazing just for him to give me an opportunity tonight. It felt good.
I like how DeMarcus Robinson phrases it. They take the top off the covers, and that's the deal. They extend the field. They allow Matthew Stafford to look deep, of course, but they also draw defenders with them. And so you have other pockets of space and other opportunities open for DeMarcus Robinson, who catches a touchdown in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. And while the Vikings had 7 snaps inside the red zone in the second half, 7 opportunities inside the 20-yard line in the second half, could not get another touchdown. The Rams were going 3 for 3 in the red zone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, you know the moment. If you're watching the game, or even if you weren't, you're just paying attention to social media, with a minute 46 to go, the Rams are up 28-20, and they've pinned the Vikings deep in their own territory, and we end.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Up with a moment that a lot of people will be talking about.
2nd and 10 from the 5. Darnold back to pass. 4-man rush. Sam looking to throw from the end zone. It's a safety and the game is over. Byron Young threw down Sam Darnold in the end zone. And it's a safety. There are no flags on the play. The Rams have taken a 30-20 lead.
I think Darnold was yanked down by his face mask. And
I don't see a flag.
I know, and I don't think you're going to get it. That's not a play that you can review. But watch as he comes around, and he totally gets pulled down.
Yeah, look at Darnold, outstretched arms.
Wow.
Screaming at Trey Blake. Byron, so was Kevin O'Connell.
Byron Young just... Oh, absolutely, that was a face mask.
Oh, wow.
But they don't call it.
This is the maddest I've ever seen Kevin O'Connell on a sideline while coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I mean, you know, you put yourself in that position. The team's done that all night. And, you know, when you put it on that and the referees miss a call like that, it's devastating. Yeah, it's terrible that they missed that call. It should have been an automatic first down. You have a minute 36 to go. You know, you have some momentum, some opportunity, but... Wow.
That's the sequence as it plays out on Vikings radio. Paul Allen there along with Ben Lieber. And you hear their reaction to it in real time. Yeah, it's very clear that it's a face mask. Not just that, but linebacker Byron Young, he knew it was a face mask. And so he throws his hands to his helmet as though he's despairing. No, I can't believe I just ruined that. And so, yes, it was absolutely a face mask. But if you look at it, I'm not excusing the refs, they missed it. But if you look at it from the referee's perspective, he actually did get blocked by another defender flying in between him and the play as Darnold was going to the ground. There should have been another check there. There should be someone else who sees it. I don't want to say excuse, but their reaction to the pool reporter is, hey, we both got blocked out. We didn't see it. We missed it. I still say it's a lot to assume that Darnold and the Vikings offense, who had already been 0-for-2 in the red zone and who had to settle for field goals in the second half, was going to drive the length of the field in a minute and 46 seconds and convert the two-point attempt. Not impossible, no, but you can't assume they were going to go down and score and thus blame the officials for stealing the game from the Vikings. The Vikings had opportunities, and yes, you're mad about that because you want one more shot to move down the field. You definitely do, but it is part of the game, and they had other opportunities.
Well, it looked like you got a pretty good amount of face mask there. Not going to get into, you know, the call or no call and all that stuff. It's just... I told our team, officiating and all that stuff, like, for us to talk about that, for us to seek comfort in that is not how we're going to respond to this. It's just not going to happen. And I'm going to do the same thing right now. I really don't have a comment on whether it was it looked like you got a piece of the face mask, but they didn't think so, so they didn't throw the flag.
It is what it is. You know, it's, you know, I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in the situation that we were in, you know, the penalty before that. So, you know, we just got to continue to play better and not put ourselves in that situation to begin with.
The reactions of Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold. And yeah, it sucks because you want one more chance to drive down the field and make up for the mistakes, the lack of production in the red zone earlier in the half. So I do appreciate that they're frustrated. That part stinks. You hope it doesn't happen in those moments. And you would think with the bazillions of cameras out there that they would be able to see it. The issue is that it's one of those non-reviewables, which is annoying to me. I don't know how they decide what's reviewable and what's not. I don't think judgment calls should be reviewable because that's undermining the team that you've trained, that you put on the field. But if it's something that you can clearly see, I'm not sure why, other than it delays the game a little more. But if it's a quick fix and it's easy, it's just unfortunate because there's so many eyeballs and so many cameras. Why not get it right? So I understand there's a reaction to it, but it's not why the Vikings lost the game. David is in San Diego. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How you doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
I'm just an NFL fan, and I like to say what I saw tonight, refereeing-wise, was one-sided. Throughout the game, Vikings were penalized on many occasions on third and long, pass interference, and to not call that at the end of the game, I don't care what the excuse is. There was nobody in front of him. 10 million people saw it from their point of view at home. To not find this referee number three or fire him is unbelievable.
You would fire a guy over a mistake, one mistake?
Oh, fine him. At least fine him good.
Oh, well, that's not... So I know this just because of my conversations with Gene Steratore. He used to be the head of officials in the NFL. These guys are graded harshly, and they're graded meticulously on every single snap and every single game. And so they will, he will get downgraded. Both the referee and the umpire will get downgraded this week because they missed it. And so those grades add up over the course of a year. And it, you know, it has to do with whether or not you get promoted, whether or not you end up working playoff games, that type of thing. So it does have ramifications, but to fire someone over a missed call seems a little bit over the top. I don't know. Do you get fired every time you make a mistake?
I could.
Could
possible,
you?
Yes.
Well, thank God I don't get fired when I make mistakes because I make plenty.
Well, we're not going to fire you.
All right, David. I mean, I know it's egregious and they should have seen it. And so I understand it, but it's not in terms of it being lopsided. I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I don't think that it was. A lot of those are judgment calls. But this game wasn't replete with flags as much as, I don't know, I guess last week seemed like we stopped and started every 5 seconds last week. The Vikings, they missed some opportunities. I mean, they wasted a great game from Justin Jefferson, were unable to get into the end zone in the second half. So that's the part that kept them from winning. Thank you for your phone call, David, in San Diego at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page as well. Yeah, Justin Jefferson with another 8 catches, 115 yards. Do you know he has more 100-yard receiving games than any other NFL athlete in his first 5 years in the league? That's impressive. He's almost automatic when it comes to these 100-yard games. And if you haven't seen the catch he made in the third quarter in which he's juggling the ball along the sidelines, it's a one-hander, essentially, as he's also trying to walk the tightrope and not go out of bounds. And that's the part, this particular drive, I think it was, like I said, third quarter, late third quarter. This is the moment where I thought, how do you not get into the end zone there? Because they were at that point sitting on the 4 or 5 yard line and don't get into the end zone. So the Vikings, that one's probably going to bother them more than the miss face mask at the end, because at that point they're a day late and a dollar short. But to waste a performance and that catch from Justin Jefferson, that's rough. But ultimately, to have both Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua come back, I mean, you could see what a boost it was for Matthew Stafford and the offense.
They played great. They had production, but you know, it's just great energy to have those guys back. Not only the guys on offense, but the guys on defense feel that too, right? They know that we got some of those guys back. And I thought it was a great team effort. Obviously, our defense clinching it there for us late, but the guys on offense did a nice job too.
Matthew Stafford doing an interview on ESPN after the game. So the Rams end up winning back-to-back games now while the Vikings drop back-to-back games. And these are kind of the ebbs and flows of what we see in the NFL. After the Vikings start out 5-0 now in a very short work week, they drop 2 in a row. And one of the things that stood out to me is they didn't get much pressure on Matthew Stafford. And so Kevin O'Connell talks about that. We'll hear from him after the fact. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And Marco Belletti is here in studio, and I have to tell you something. I have to make a public apology.
Okay.
Because you were here yesterday when, obviously, I was talking to you, so yes, you were here. Right? Happy almost Friday. My laundromat story about how much money it costs to take a load of laundry to the local laundromat, and that was kind of the catalyst. And in being all fired up and frustrated about the fact that we had to pay $10 for a load of laundry, I was talking about the little bag of supplies I sent with my husband to the laundromat, remember? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't even remember saying this, just because sometimes when I run my mouth, I'm emotional, I'm running my mouth. Apparently I said, my husband wouldn't know a dryer sheet if it hit him in the face.
I actually remember this.
Okay.
I do.
I have to issue a public apology because he does not care that I tell stories about us on the air. And he does not care when I, tell funny stories like how he's tuned me out. You missed this last week. I was telling our audience and telling Pete how I know he's tuned me out, because not long ago I said, hey, babe, how are you feeling tonight? I love you too, hon. So my mom is sure he's already tuned me out. But he and I were talking about that moment with the dryer sheet, and my point didn't come across. I was thinking more this, that dudes don't use dryer sheets, and he would have gone off to the laundromat without a dryer sheet. But he kind of felt like it was, it made him look bad.
Yeah, right.
Like it made him look stupid, which is, of course, not what I think. My husband's brilliant. I'm issuing a public apology. I'm sorry, love. I think you're so smart. It was mostly just you would walk out the door without it, not that you don't know what a dryer sheet is. So he's a Renaissance man. He uses dryer sheets. That's really the point of all this. I have to apologize publicly because I would never want to make it seem like I don't think he is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
That's fine. I got to be fair. When this story started, the public apology I thought was coming to me. Coming to me, I've lost interest halfway through because I thought this apology was for me.
Why would I be apologizing to you?
I don't know, but I wanted to find out.
I'm sorry, Marco.
I wanted to find out, and then it's apparently for your husband. So I lost interest.
You have to vouch for me the fact that I did say it on the air that he wouldn't know a dryer sheet if it hit him in the face.
That part I remember.
Yeah, I remember.
I got to be fair. The reason why I remember it, because I thought that was a bit harsh. That was a little unnecessary.
You thought it was below the belt.
Unnecessary. Even if he didn't know, I thought it was unnecessary to throw that in.
You're right.
The guy's taking the clothes. He's going to the laundromat.
True.
He's got $10 worth of quarters in his pocket. And you're worried about dryer sheets and doesn't know what he's doing.
That was wrong. I stand absolutely corrected. I got carried away. You know, sometimes I get carried away, emotional girl. I say things that that are a little bit over the top. So I'm sorry, babe. I'm sorry, Marco, for not accurately giving you a portrait of my amazing husband.
No.
You have to accept the apology.
No, I want a real apology. I want something that's for me. That's not for me. That's thrown at the side. I don't want that.
If you can actually keep to yourself that we have a dog in studio next week, well, then I will apologize for ever thinking that you might be a snitch who would get a ditch.
Yeah, I'm not taking that apology. I'm actually offended that you would think.
See, Pete? I can't.
So little of me. And the fact that you don't know me for so long that you've known me, that I would be someone that would go behind people's back. Like, it's just.
I just
so
think
against
if they came
who I
to
am,
you and they threatened to leave you on overnights for the rest of your career, that maybe they said, we're going to make you work Sunday nights instead. Mm-hmm, I know how much you do not want to come in on Sundays. I feel like they would threaten you with something and you then might sing like a canary.
Don't give any ideas. You know.
But I also have to apologize for that. If it's not true.
And
next week, you also helped pick up dog hair.
Backhanded.
Backhanded
that's
compliment.
That's not even a compliment. That's a backhanded apology.
Backhanded apology.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think I need to apologize yet. We haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well be an equal opportunity offender.
Pete, how can I offend you this evening?
I don't know. When the World Series is starting, we're not the Mets. Maybe something there.
Oh, no. I don't take... Well, that's not true. I take pot shots at some teams like the Cleveland Browns just because.
That's everybody.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I'm sorry because I misjudged you, Marco.
No. You can't throw out if it's possible. I'm still not sure. And now the microphone goes off.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's my fault. Okay. I apologize.
All right. See, that's, and now we're taking my mic off. It can't be.
That was an accident.
I think you're a rat. But I apologize if you may not be. And throw it at my feet. Like, I'm sorry. That's not.
I said something about stitches. That's all.
Yeah. No. Where I come from, that you're a rat.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's rat.
Wow.
And that seems uncalled for. And then you throw in the, but if you may not be, maybe then, I'm sorry, I thought you were a rat. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Simple as that.
It's very simple. You're right. I'll think about that. I'll contemplate that.
Go ahead. While you get your dryer sheets together, you think about the fact that I'm not going to take the half-hearted apology of why you called me a rat.
I mean, what? I never use that word.
Called me
never.
A rat.
Pete, all I said was snitches get ditches. I did not say
again,
he was a rat.
Stitches. This is for like playground stuff. If you're talking about ditches, then we're not getting into this. Snitches is like for little kids. That's little.
So what you get is it when it's serious?
A rat.
Oh. See, I don't like rats.
Well, ditches is serious, too.
You want me to put... That's my point. So you can't do this... It can't be a snitch. If you're a snitch, that's a small little thing. That's what my daughter is, four-year-old. She tells me everything that's going on in the house when I'm not there.
See?
She's the snitch. And I've tried to explain to her... Now, as much as I want to know all these things, I tell her, and I've told her many
don't
a time, don't be a rat. Stop ratting out your brother.
You call your daughter a rat?
No, I tell her to stop being a rat.
Don't be a rat.
Yes. Don't rat out your brother. Yes. Now, I need to know all these things, but don't rat out your brother because you shouldn't be telling me this. I know that. You know that. Well, she doesn't know that yet. She's going to learn that.
So rats get ditches.
Yes. Pretty much.
That rolls off the tongue.
And see, and now we're back. And now we're right back to the idea that I'm even teaching my four-year-old daughter not to be a rat, and yet you're calling me a rat.
Well, I didn't know that part. This is new information. This is a new report or an old report. Yeah. Also, we're way late, so we're going to have like 30 seconds after your update. Cut that short? I'm just kidding.
I have no control
of the update. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Marco, who's not a rat, and Pete, who is also playing the apology game. And here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote. Progressive.com. Vikings looking to rebound off their first loss. And Rams, they're trying to inch a little closer to 500.
Jalen McCullough clinched Sunday's win with an interception against the Raiders. Can the Rams get a takeaway here? Play clock getting short. Darnold back to his end zone. Sets the laces. Hitches. Hit. Sacked! Game over! Game over! Byron Young with a safety! Agent Zero calls game on Thursday Night Football!
Sam Darnold ripped down by his face mask. Officials didn't see it, so Byron Young puts the game on ice with the sack and the safety, and the Rams outscored the Vikings 30-20. Call courtesy of the Rams Radio Network. Matthew Stafford threw for 279, four touchdowns. Puka Nacua back after missing five games, seven catches, a buck six. Cooper Kupp also returned, five catches, 51 yards and a score. L.A., back-to-back wins after that 1-4 start.
I believe in this group, Sam. I believe in the coaches. I believe in the players. I saw a resolve. I didn't see a flinch. And we still have a long way to go. You know, we've won two games in 5 days, but it's just two games. And we've done a good job of getting ourselves back to where we wanted to be.
That's head coach Sean McVay. Sam Darnold threw a couple of TD passes, but Minnesota's lost back-to-back games. They're now 5-2. NBA, Klay Thompson, nice first impression in Dallas.
Doncic, left off of Lively, keeps the dribble at the left elbow. Back out, Klay, puts it on the floor for a 10 a.m. three. You cannot give him 15 feet of space. That's embarrassing.
15, he had 20.
Klay finished with 22 points. Luka Doncic, 28, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Mavericks disposed of the Spurs, 120-109. Call courtesy of the Mavericks Radio Network. Elsewhere, the T-Wolves able to hold off the Kings, 117-115. Julius Randle poured in 33. Celtics roll the Wizards, 122-102. Jaylen Brown, 27. Jason Tatum, 25. And the Thunder overpowered the Nuggets, 102-87. Chet Holmgren, 25 points, 14 boards, and 4 blocks. Pacers suffered a loss. James Wiseman suffered a torn Achilles in their season-opening win against the Pistons. And college football, Pitt rocked Syracuse 41-13, returned 3 interceptions for scores, picked off Kyle McCord 5 times in all. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are off and running in week 8 of the NFL season, and what do you know? We've got a team that's made some major steps in the past couple of weeks versus a team that has taken a couple steps back. But that's just how it works in the NFL, the ebbs and flows of the season. So if you're looking now at these two divisions that were involved on this Thursday night, Minnesota Vikings fall to 5-2. This is crazy because three of the four teams in the NFC that are sitting on 5 wins, that's the most in the conference, three of them reside in the NFC North. Lions, Vikings, Packers all have 5 wins. Right now, the only thing separating the Lions from the Vikings and Packers is the fact that they beat the Vikings last weekend. They're sitting at 5-1. Vikes and Packers are 5-2. Of course, Packers can move ahead of them with a victory coming up on Sunday. And so the Packers are on the road at Jacksonville. By the way, weirdly enough, there are no byes this week. So we had a couple of bye weeks and now no byes this week. The Lions, meanwhile, can move to a 6th win with a victory over Tennessee. So that's it. And then Bears and Commanders, that's one of our games for the game of the week poll, which is now up at Amy After Hours. And I'll put it up on our Facebook page momentarily. In the West, well, this is a weird division. The Seahawks are 4-3. Every other team in the division is now sitting at 3-4, including Sean McVay's club.
I believe in this group. I believe in the coaches. I believe in the players. I saw a resolve. I didn't see a flinch. And we still have a long way to go. You know, we've won 2 games in 5 days, but it's just 2 games. And we've done a good job of getting ourselves back to where we wanted to be.
He seems enthusiastic again, right? He seems happy. Sean McVay is certainly thrilled that he's got his top 2 receivers back out there. And boy, did it open up the offense. The defense is coming around as well. And I love the way that the O-line and the run game protected Matthew Stafford. You don't want your 36-year-old taking a lot of hits, but he didn't get sacked at all. They didn't get to him a ton. And when they did, he's ducking and spinning around defenders. All right, Minnesota, so what's your answer after the mini bye? We shall see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.